Please note, today's episode includes discussion of stillbirth and baby loss. Listener discretion is advised. Hi, I'm Mel Pickup, Chief Executive of Bradford Teaching Hospitals, and welcome to this month's episode of our podcast series, where I'm sitting down with colleagues and partners from across the Trust and the wider community to find out more about them and their contributions to the health and well-being of the people here in Bradford. This month, I'm joined by Vicky Jones, our perinatal palliative care midwife. In a moment, I'll be chatting with Vicky about her work supporting the families of children who are born with life-limiting conditions through our innovative butterfly care pathway. But first, we're going to hear from Hamira and Nadeem, who Vicky supported last year.
I was at university and I had a part-time job as a shop assistant, and that's where I met him. He's just walking past one day, left his number for me, and I wasn't interested. And then my manager at the time, Dawn, I can't forget, she went, "Just give him a ring, seems like a nice fella." And then that's it, from there on it's gone. I think it was just meant to be honest with you. So I've got three daughters, Aisha who's 11, Eliza's 10, and then we've got Amira who's 7, but she's going on 77, but that's another story. So when I got pregnant, I was shocked because I thought, Amira's 6, this shouldn't be happening. I've gone past all that, cleaning nappies, waking up in the middle of the night, doing feeds. I thought, I've gone past all that. But then there was a bit inside me thinking, oh, do you know what? It'd be nice to have a little baby in house. I just thought it would be a normal scan to say I've had three children before. I knew what was happening. And anyway, we went along that day and we got scanned. And then the sonographer at the time, she went, "Oh, there's something I've noticed on your scan. Have you ever had the testing for Down syndrome to get the best results? You need it." I says, "All right, fine." They'd seen
fluid
at the back of the baby's neck, increased levels or something. Yeah. This will tell us what is going on with the baby.
And don't Google anything.
And she explained to us, you know, it could be something and it could be nothing. You could be 50-50 or whatever. At that time, I was scared. I'm not going to lie to you, I was scared because I didn't know what was going on. Come home, and obviously first thing, what did I do? I were on Instagram and I was searching stuff, and then I come across this one lady. This little boy's called Musa, and he's got Down syndrome. And I look how lovable this child is. He would just, and I just thought, you know what? Whatever it is, it's gonna happen. So yeah, I got the results over the phone. And it says to us, it's 50-50. I just thought, you know what, I'm going to have to deal with it. But what I couldn't understand is, if my child had Down syndrome at the time, I wasn't given another appointment, would I? So then Dr. Jackson called me up. "We need to do a scan, but you will be scanned by a doctor." So I've gone in for this 20-week scan, and we were sat in the waiting room, and I said to you, "Today I'm going to tell the kids. We'd have the pictures, we'll know what sex the baby is," because that was, I just knew. My daughters would ask me the first question, "Are we having a sister or are we having a brother?" I laid on the bed and I thought, maybe the doctor's going to come in afterwards, because it was just a sonographer. She was a lovely lady. Took quite a while, didn't it? Mm. It were ages. She was quite quiet. While she was scanning, I did ask her if she could tell us the sex of the baby. But she said, "I just need to do a few more things and I'll see if I can see it." And at that point, I looked over at you and I remember, I was like, "Gosh, is everything all right?" She just went, "Look, I need someone to come and double check everything for you." So she went to find someone to talk to us. She was trying to find a doctor, wasn't she? She'd gone upstairs into clinic trying to find someone. She couldn't find anybody. She's come down, and at this point, this sonographer's in tears because she couldn't tell me what was wrong. She said, "I've booked you another appointment for Monday. That's the only one we've got." I went, "Okay." And she apologised. She actually hugged me as well, didn't she?
Yeah.
But we didn't even say anything to each other, because there's nothing to say, because we didn't know what was
wrong,
what was happening. the weekend was horrible.
The longest weekend ever.
Yeah, we didn't sleep. It was tough. So we've gone to this appointment.
So she did the scans and she was like, she was a bit surprised as what she's seen on the scans, and then she just
changed. Her tone changed. So basically she explained to us that our child had a bit extra fluid around the lungs and the chest area. And she went, well, what do you want from this pregnancy? We are Muslims. We believe we cannot take a life away. I know in myself that it's not going to survive because everyone's telling me all this. But at the end of the day, this child is still inside me. There's still a heartbeat. You know what's going on? Then I rang back the Down syndrome midwife and I said to her, I want a second opinion. And she went, oh, I can refer you to Leeds. I got an appointment straight away, didn't I? And he just went, where have you been? And I went, what do you mean? He says, you should have been referred to fetal medicine in Leeds at that 12-week scan. So obviously there was something not right within the process that I've gone through. Anyway, we were there now. He explained to us that there was 9% chance of survival at that first meeting. And I thought I liked him because he's told me.
Straight to the point.
Like, you know
what? What's going on?
So I thought to myself, right, 9% chance out of 100. This child's not going to survive. We even asked him, do you know if it's a boy or a girl? And he just went, no, because the way the baby is. I know it's only in Leeds, but it used to take the whole day. And I just thought, we can't do it. So at one of the appointments, he just went, look, what do you want? Do you want to have the baby at Leeds or do you want to have it at Bradford? So me and you spoke about it, the logistics in. So we decided, right, no, we're going to have this baby in Bradford. And I said, that's fine. We will arrange for Dr. Chakra to see you and, you know, take over your care. Before this appointment came, I got a call from Vicky. She just went, if you come about 5 or 10 minutes early, sit in the waiting room. And she said, I'm going to be sort of overlooking everything and making sure you get your appointments and stuff. She actually came to all the scans and all the appointments from that point onwards, which I really liked because she knew my baby. So we went to this scan with Dr. Ishmael, and first time we met him, he went, what do you want from this? I'm so sorry. I had accepted it. My child will not be coming home with me. So, as we're Muslims, we only do a funeral, a proper funeral, if they've taken a breath in this world. You do a full prayer, you have 3 days of mourning and you do a prayer for them, then we do the burial and everything. So obviously Dr. Ishmael was Muslim as well, and he knew what I meant when I said to him, I just want this child to take a breath. And he just looked at me and I remember seeing his eyes and I could just see that glint. He just knew. He didn't ask for an explanation as to why. He just knew. We built a relationship with him as well as Vicky and as well as Dr. Jackson. They were just like family from that point onwards. I remember showing the picture to Vicky and Dr. Ishmael. They just went, it looks like a dad. I mean, we'd always have this conversation every time we went to these apartments that, is it a boy or a girl? Because we need to tell the kids. And Dr. Ishmael was like, I really can't. And then at one point, Dr. Jackson was like, if anyone can find the sex out of the baby, it is Dr. Ishmael because he can do it. He's really good at finding it. And I'm not lying. He tried his hardest with the thing and he pressed on and I was like, ouch.
He goes,
I'm trying to move it, but I just can't do it. The legs are closed and everything. And going to these appointments with Vicky, it wasn't as upsetting and stressful. She just made it so easy. We were walking past Mama's and Papa's and I looked at him because I told Vicky that I haven't got anything for the baby. And she went, well, get a baby grown and maybe a hat and a blanket and stuff. I said, all right. So we went inside and he went to girls, right, each of you choose one thing. So they all chose, didn't they? They all chose their own little bit. I was 34 weeks. Dr. Ishmael rang me and he was like, right, we are going to book you in for a C-section because my baby was feet first. And they're like, we're stuck in a cupboard. We couldn't find anywhere quiet. So I'm like, right, do you want me to come in today then? They went, no. We've booked it in for Monday. I says, right, what time Monday? I'll be there. You couldn't make it up what happened to me. You really couldn't. For days and days and days, I wanted a milk cake, a Lotus Biscoff milk cake. So he says, all right, okay, I'll go get it. So he says, come on, we went, shall I bring it upstairs? He says, yeah, go on then. So I've got changed and I've got this milk cake in my hand and I've sat down on the bed and I was like, I had to rush back up. I know I've had three kids before, but my waters have never broken at home. They've always gone whilst in labour. And he's like, what am I going to put in car? He says, put some black bin liners down. He's more bothered about his car. He wasn't about me. And the midwife, Shyla, she's so nice. She's so nice. She goes, right, we need to prep you. I was scared. I'm not going to lie to you. So Nad stayed over, didn't you? So Saturday we were there. All day Saturday I hadn't seen the kids. Sunday they've come to the hospital to see me. They bought me cupcakes, haven't they? Mm. And a cup of tea. And I stood up, didn't I? Because I had my first contraction. And he just went, are you all right? I went, yeah, I'm fine. And then the sister-in-law says, you better go now. Drop the girls off and please come back. And I went upstairs and I said to Debbie, I'm sure I'm contracting. Within the space of a minute, I've got these stockings on, I've got a hospital gown on, and I'm like on the phone, where are you? And he's like, I'm outside door. And he's coming and Debbie's like, have you got out for a baby? Grab the baby stuff. And I was like, what do you mean? And I didn't think Vicky would have come. But when I saw Vicky, I just couldn't believe that she was there. It had been a Sunday afternoon. I was scared, but I know all the doctors are qualified and I know all the same, but when I saw Vicky and I just thought it was a sigh of relief, I thought at least Vicky's there. The doctor, she said, out. I looked up at Nad and I says, the baby's out. So he said, no, it's not out. And then I remember Vicky coming out and Vicky saying, it's a girl.
It's a girl.
That's the first thing she said. And I said, is she breathing? And Vicky said, no, the doctors are with her. She goes, I'll come back. And she came back. She just shook her head, didn't she? I were all right. I didn't cry. But Nad just broke down into tears. And there's something you said to me afterwards. So Nad says to me that, I thought I should have opened her eyes.
At least once. Just
to, just look, to see your dad.
Just to see.
But then that would have been even worse. I know I says to Dr. Ishmael, I want you to breathe, but even if she'd opened her eyes that once, that would have hurt even more than it does now. And I just remember Nad holding her, just crying. And I was like, it's fine. I said, it's fine. But if it weren't for Vicky, someone else did that. It hurt. It would hurt. Because if it was just a normal midwife that I've not seen, someone that works in theatre came over and gave us our baby, I told us that she would. It would have hurt. But because Vicky knows us and we know Vicky, it was just different. And I heard all right. Obviously, you were devastated at the time. And Vicky says, we got a name for her, didn't she? Mm. And then I told her, and she was like, that's such a nice name. So we named her Aya Noor Zeb. They'd already explained to us about the butterfly pathway and the room. So we've gone into this room and we're quite scared of how the girls are going to react and everything. Vicky just clicked like that with my kids. Like as if she'd been in their lives ever since they were born. So then everyone's been, family's been and gone. And then Nat stayed the night, didn't you? And the baby was with us that night. Obviously, with us being Muslim, we have to bury him straight away. So obviously, she didn't breathe. She was stillborn. So which meant we couldn't have a proper funeral for her. So it was just a burial. But getting that done as well was hard. And I probably expected a lot from Nat. Because I just had a C-section, you know. I'd never had a C-section before. And it was all down to him. So he arranged the funeral directors to come and pick her up. So Vicky actually came in and she went, bearing in mind my mum and my sisters were there and the kids were there, and she went, is it okay if I hold her and take her? She goes, I just went, what do you mean? She goes, I want to carry her and take her. And then I looked at her because she was in the cot next to me. It's like got a freezer thing in it. Fridge, yeah. And I looked at her and I thought, I don't want her to take her in that cot. And I said, yeah. So the time came. And I remember someone in the room, I don't even know what it was. What's she doing? What's she doing? And I was like, excuse me, you've not been through this journey with me. You have no right to say anything. Vicky's been here from day dot. So whatever she's doing what I want her to do. So remember Vicky coming, she took Aya Noor. She made sure the girls said bye. I had my little cuddle. And it didn't hurt. It didn't hurt to watch Vicky walk through them doors of that little room and take my baby away. It wasn't upsetting. It didn't hurt. It just filled my heart with so much love for what she's done for me. Because even if one of my sisters carried her out, or Nat carried her out, it wouldn't have meant anything as much as what it meant when she carried her out. I don't know how she does it. I really don't know how Vicky does that job.
Vicky, let's start there then. How do you do this job?
That's where I should say it's, I manage okay, but I think it's really hard. I'm getting better at it, I think. But I think the moment I say it's easy, that's the moment I need to stop, because, you know, when you care and you do it, and you want to do it well. And I always say that showing emotion, that we should be allowed to show emotion as long as we're not kind of taking over a parent's grief, because it shows that actually we care and we've valued their child's life. I have great colleagues, great friends. I have a dog. And so when I go home, I do kind of do those nice things. But for me, doing those small things that make such a huge difference is enough for me to learn to manage to do it. I need to be able to do it, because there's so many families out there that need this support. And you always remember, obviously, I'm a midwife from background, and you always remember those words that people say at birth, but also you always remember those words and what people have said and do when your baby's dying or through death. And I think you can get it so wrong, but you can get it so right. And I do find it a privilege, and to anybody that kind of will and will listen to me, they know I love my job, but they know that I don't find it easy. You know, it's not easy.
Hugely rewarding, but equally, if not more so, challenging.
Yes.
It has to be.
Yes.
And it's done under the auspices of what we call the butterfly pathway. And we know, as people who work in healthcare at Bradford, what that means. But for most people, they'll be wondering, what's the butterfly pathway? So can you tell us a little bit more about what it is and how that helps you to provide that most critical support to the families who need that?
So the butterfly care pathway is for families who have had a diagnosis of their baby having some sort of severe anomaly or a life-limiting condition. That could be the end of the pathway from their 20-week scan, when they've had the most horrendous news. You go for your scan and then find out actually your baby's got this very severe anomaly. It's at that point that we say the grief sets in, and it's at that point that we feel that support is really, really needed. So that could be where families enter the pathway. It could be when the baby's born. So they are born with some sort of what we call cerebral palsy, HIE. So they're born after a birth trauma or prematurity, extreme prematurity. So there's different kind of entries onto the pathway. And for me, it's about supporting them with their emotional needs, the physical needs, and also the social needs, and making sure kind of we're doing a bit of that assessment of needs at the same time and knowing what social support they've got going on around. I kind of feel I'm the glue between the services. I do the butterfly care pathway with somebody called Dr. Chakras Vasudevan, who is our consultant neonatologist. So I kind of call him my work husband. And then we have a big team around us. And obviously it depends where we are in the pathway to, you know, if she's the antenatal. I work very closely with the obstetric consultants. So I try and go to all the appointments. So they're getting that familiar face and they're not having to reiterate what they want and what they don't want as well. We work with the Spark team. We work with the physiotherapists when the babies are born. We work with fetal medicine in Leeds, the cardiologist. When your baby has got some sort of conditions that it's diagnosed with, there's so many appointments to go through that it can come totally overwhelming. And I try and take away some of that from the families so that they can actually try and enjoy that pregnancy. Because the baby's going to have a short life, if any life. So it's really important to try and have some positive elements to that pregnancy of building some memories. We went to a scan appointment a little while ago and the baby was just seen to be putting his thumb up. And we caught that on a picture and we got that picture printed. And it's just about just taking these little bits along the journey, because at the end that might be what the families have left.
We've talked before we started recording, Vicky, about the role of memory boxes, actually, and how important. So you've just sparked my own memory of that conversation by saying the thumbs up picture, which presumably might find its way into part of the memory box and be a part of the thing that lasts long into the future for those parents and those siblings. Can you tell me a little bit about how you go about having those conversations with families?
Yeah, I mean, we normally see the families, if they've had a diagnosis antenatally, we see them around about 26 weeks. And it is about probably layering the memory making, because they're just so overwhelmed with everything that actually we probably do it without really saying, let's memory make, because actually your baby's not going to live. You know, it is about just capturing things along the way and building it without calling it a name. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. So it just happens. You get to the end of this journey that you're never going to forget anyway, and you've got that reference point, really. Something physical to go to.
We work very closely with the hospices, Forget Me Not in particular, because it's near, and Martin House. And they help us with, they've got a hydrotherapy pool. So we've had families where mum's in the kind of nine months pregnant, and we've taken photographs. So it might be the only photograph they have as a full family, you know, three yeah. children and while they're pregnant. So it is about exploring what there is out there and being flexible and actually finding out what really matters to those families. But as long as they have the ideas of what is available for them then to lead that. Mm.
Amira and Nadeem talked about the benefits of having clarity about the prognosis. How important is that in your experience?
I feel that it's hugely important. Not always right at the beginning. They're so holding for hope because it's so unpredictable. Often we don't have a clear diagnosis. It is more the prognosis. So we have more of an idea of how the baby is going to be at birth rather than knowing. So it could be baby has got some heart anomaly or kidneys, but actually his diagnosis is Edwards syndrome. But actually we wouldn't know that until later on. But yes, definitely the families do want to know, where's it gone wrong? And also, how will it happen again? Mm. And also, what is the cause of death? So those three things, I think, definitely are important. And those are the conversations we do have as part of what we call the advanced care plan that we put together around about 26, 30 weeks pregnant.
How is it going to evolve, do you think? What is next for the service?
So when I go see these families, I go see them and I think, I wish you could talk to you, or, you know, I feel like there's so much need there. So I'm looking at a biannual meeting, a workshop. I'm not sure what I'm going to call it yet. Just for the mums and dads. The first one I'm looking for is in June. And the families seem really on board. And this is the feedback I'm getting as well. This is something that I'm driving, but on their behalf. This is the information I'm getting back from them, that this would help their grief. And I think what you would get there is different families at different stages of grief, which may be able to help each other. So that's one. I'm very keen to sort out some sort of remembrance garden, reflection garden, and somewhere where the families can go. I'd really like somewhere where there is some sort of something that has their child's name on, something that is very personal and that they can go. So there's a few things in the pipeline. At the moment, I'm kind of just still, I've only been in posts in September, so it is still very fresh. We're still doing the guidelines and the pathways, and so as well as obviously supporting the families.
Vicky, it's been a real pleasure and an absolute privilege to have this short time with you. Thank you for all you do for the parents and the families of Bradford.
Thank you.